Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. As we continue on in our series of studying words that are connected to grace, we're based this study on 2 Timothy 1:13 that says, retain the standard of sound words. So obviously, sound words comprise sound doctrine. And so we're studying those doctrinal words. And we've been studying the first doctrine, justification, which is a judicial act of God in which he declares a sinner righteous and imputes to him the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, we talk about the fact that justification is by a judicial reckoning or calculation. That's that word logizomai. It's a non-emotional word, logic, logistics, non-emotional word, and that's how God justifies through calculation. And we talk about the fact that God, last week, justifies the ungodly. That's the only kind of person he justifies. He justifies the ungodly, and that word ungodly talks about the fact that people that have actually done ungodly things, they've actually thought about it and done ungodly things, God is prepared to justify the ungodly. And of course, how is that possible? What does a person have to do? And the person can't do a thing because it's possible only in Jesus Christ, period. He's the only possibility of justification. There is no other name whereby one may be justified. It's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that enables God to justify a sinner, and that's kind of where we left off last time. So we saw that, and then we come tonight to a question on page 6, and that is, at what point does God divinely calculate one as righteous by his grace? At what point does that actually happen? And before we look at that, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your people who have come out tonight. We pray that you would bless this study and make it profitable for us. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You're not born into this world justified. And that's a hard thing to get people to realize, but you're not born into this world justified. There must be a moment where God, as judge, does it. And it isn't through religious ritual. And we need to communicate that to people, because you're not going to get this justification by going through some type of religious ritual. What God demands that man does in regard to this is that he acknowledges, first and foremost, I don't have the righteousness necessary that's equal to the majestic holiness of God. It starts with God demanding that man see himself as he truthfully is. And what man truthfully is an ungodly, miserable sinner. If God's going to justify the ungodly, he demands that a human being see himself just that way. I'm an ungodly, miserable sinner, and that's where it starts. And the answer from Scripture as to when a person is justified is at the very moment that a person believes totally and only in Jesus Christ to save from sin. It's the moment that a person believes totally and only in Jesus Christ to save from sin. The big question concerning whether or not one is justified is not a sin problem, it's a son problem. That is so important. It's a son question, not a sin question. We know all people are sinners. So the only people who can be justified are sinners. So the question is not a question of sin in justification. It's a question of whether or not one has believed in Christ and has a relationship with the Son. Justification is a single perfect act of God in which he declares a sinner righteous the moment he believes, and he actually, judicially, calculates his Son's righteousness to that person's account. That's what justification is. And it's important that a person realize you're not born justified. And I just had this discussion with someone just recently who was talking about the religious things that they'd experienced. I said, all that is ritual. It's religious ritual. I don't care if you're baptized as a baby. I don't even care if you're baptized as an adult. That's ritual. That's all it is. That's not justification. Justification does not come through religious ritual. It comes as a judicial decree of Almighty God. It's not some progressive series of multiple actions that you experience as you decide to become more religious. Justification is a judicial decision in which God makes a judicial declaration as a God who cannot lie. And Paul said in Acts 13:39 that through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things. He said in Romans 3:22 that the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. He said in Romans 3:28, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Paul said in Galatians 2:16, a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Now here's your moment of justification. At the precise moment that a person acknowledges to God that they believe totally and only in Jesus Christ to save them from their sins, because they recognize they are a sinner, an ungodly sinner, God makes a judicial calculation concerning the individual. God does not ask a person to do one thing. God does not ask a person to do anything except believe in His Son's substitutionary work on that cross that is conducted for the behalf of the people. And the moment a person believes, all of the benefits of justification are that person, become that of the individual, the moment they believe. We do not receive justification by our works. We don't receive justification by our tears. We don't receive justification by our repentance, our love, our feelings, our promises of holiness. We receive it by faith. That's what the Bible says. By the way, that's important. We stick to the Scriptures on these doctrines, because these are doctrines that have been given to us by God. And when you keep reading, you're justified by faith, you're justified by faith. I mean, that's pretty clear to me as to how a person is justified. So the moment that a person believes in their heart that only Jesus Christ can give them a right status in the sight of God, and only Jesus Christ can actually save us from our sins in a court case with God, that is the moment that a person is eternally justified. Now let's go back to the marriage analogy that we use in this illustration concerning justification. You're not born into this world married. People who think they have these infant baptism things, I mean, you're not born justified just because you're baptized as an infant. That has nothing to do with anything, frankly. You're not born into this world married. There must be a legal moment, where you are legally declared to be married. And the moment that this judicial pronouncement is made concerning a couple, everything changes before men and before God. Everything changes. Before men and before God, and before the law. And so it is in justification. The moment that a judicial declaration is made in heaven by God that this person is justified, everything changes. And all the benefits of justification become that of the individual. Which then leads us to the question, what are the benefits of justification? There's a twofold breakdown of justification benefits that we receive. First of all, we would call them the negative benefits of justification. There's no better or bigger benefit than this one. At the precise moment God justifies us by His judicial declaration or calculation, it means all condemnatory sin is gone. At the moment this decree is made, all condemnatory sin is gone. I'd like you to go to Romans 8:30. If you would, please, Romans 8:30. Now, I don't want you to confuse justification and forgiveness. Justification is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is something else. Forgiveness is like subtraction of the sin. Now, justification is the imputation of a status with God that gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So really, justification becomes more of an addition of righteousness in a judicial decree made by God. But the fact of the matter is, condemnatory sin is gone at that moment. You'll notice in Romans 8:30, and these whom He predestined, He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified. What does that tell you? The moment a person is justified, they're glorified. Which means they're guaranteed everlasting life. They cannot be condemned. They cannot suffer eternal condemnation, because in the mind of God, they're glorified. And sin that would condemn them is never going to be brought up against them again. Now, matters pertaining to rewards, that's a whole different issue, but we're talking here about the condemnatory sin that justification completely eliminates. Dr. Norman Geisler said, the first stage of salvation is called justification, salvation from the penalty of sin. Justification is an instantaneous past act of God by which one is saved from the guilt of sin. His record is cleared and he is guiltless before the judge. Now, the removal of sin, just as in the reception of righteousness, is by a judicial calculation as part of the justification package. I mean, obviously, if we are declared righteous, we must have the condemnatory sin gone, or we can't be declared righteous. And what God declares is our condemnatory sin is removed as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers our sins no more. So in justification, what God does is he chooses to declare us righteous, and he chooses not to bring up or remember sin that would ultimately condemn us. Those are what we would call the negative benefits of justification concerning the sin issue. But then you have the positive benefits of justification. And there are four amazing benefits or blessings of justification. Justification declares you righteous and frees you from all things. Go over to Acts 13:39, please. Acts 13:39. Acts 13:39. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Everyone who believes is justified from all things. That includes all the terrible things that you've ever done. That includes all the terrible things you've ever said. That includes all of the terrible things you've ever thought. All of the terrible things you still might do. That includes that. This precious doctrine means that any who believe in that finished work of Christ and what he did in shedding his precious blood on that cross, they are set free from everything the moment that God makes this judicial calculation concerning that individual. See, justification does not just subtract sin, it adds Christ's righteousness to the account. That's so critical in this doctrine. It adds Christ's righteousness to our account. Now, the second blessing is justification means we have permanent peace with God. This is important. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is an important point to get across to people who are lost. Because the popular notion by popular preachers is God loves everybody. And that God is just this great loving God, which he is. I mean, it was his love that provided that cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what they don't realize is the theology of people who are not willing to go to the cross or who haven't gone to the cross to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God sees them as a sinner, and he sees them in a hostile relationship with him, in hostile war with him. In fact, Paul says they're an enemy of God. So someone who has not been justified is not just someone who is just out there in some loving relationship with God. They're an enemy of God. That's the way God views them, until this judicial decree comes into play. The third blessing is justification means you cannot ever experience God's wrath. Let's go to Romans 5:9. Romans 5:9. This is so important. And you know, in your life, these doctrines become precious to you all the way through life, especially when you're not having the best days in your walk with God. It's good to remember the theology of this. In Romans 5:9, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. That's as pretty clear as it gets. If you've been justified because you've believed in Jesus Christ, God makes this judicial calculation concerning you that you are now his child with the imputed righteousness of his son. You cannot ever experience anything connected to the wrath of God. Nothing. And what that eschatologically means, and that's where people don't understand apparently this, is that you cannot enter the tribulation. You cannot go into the tribulation because that is a time in which God is going to pour out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting, God-mocking world. Well, this says if you're justified, You're saved from the wrath to come. Now, that not only includes wrath in eternity, it includes any time that God would pour out wrath, one who's been justified is delivered from it. So you certainly are not going to enter the tribulation, and you're certainly not going to enter hell. Now, there was a Catholic theologian, I found this fascinating, who wrote a tract. This is an interesting thing. I thought it was so interesting, I thought this is worthy of having in your notes. He wrote this tract in AD 1100 for people who were about to die, and they were overwhelmed with the fact that they were a sinner. So Anselm wrote this tract for them. They're in a hospital or they're in a bed and they are about to die. They just want some type of assurance as to where they're going. And here's part of the tract. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you? Answer, yes, I believe it. Do you thank God for the passion and death of Jesus Christ? Answer, yes, I do thank Him. Do you believe that you cannot be saved except by Christ's death? Yes, I believe that. Then Anselm says, come then, while life remains in you and in Christ's death alone, place your entire trust. Do not place any of your trust elsewhere. To Christ's death, commit yourself wholly. With this alone, cover yourself wholly. And if the Lord thy God will to judge you, say, Lord, between your judgment and me, I present the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. No otherwise can I contend with you. And if he shall say that you are a sinner, say, Lord, I interpose the death of our Lord Jesus Christ between my sins and you. If he says that you deserve condemnation, say, Lord, I set the death of our Lord Jesus Christ between my evil deserts and you, and his merits I offer for those which I ought to have and have not. If he says that he is angry with you, say, Lord, I place the death of our Lord Jesus Christ between thy wrath and me. Now the fact is, because of the doctrine of justification, you'll never have to have that conversation with the Lord because you're already justified, you're already guaranteed heaven. But it does show how important it is to trust totally and only and completely in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. And that is so important for people to understand, to hold on to. Because justification means you're not going to experience the wrath of God because of the wonderful finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our focus needs to be. And in situations when I've been in moments where people are nearing going into eternity, I don't talk to them about what they've done. I don't talk to them about what I've done or anything like that. It's all about you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You focus on what he's done and keep your focus right there. Go into eternity thinking about him and what he did on that cross. Keep your focus there because there's where justification is found. Now the fourth blessing is justification means you're guaranteed eternal life. As long as you're open to Romans 5, look at verse 18, so that as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. So, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, justification means you receive justification of life. And Paul says in Romans 8 that one who's justified is so guaranteed life that nothing could ever separate a believer from it. And Paul says in Titus 3:7 that one who is justified is made an heir of eternal life. So one who has this judicial decree made about them in heaven, where God judicially declares a sinner to be righteous, an ungodly person to be righteous, means that this person is guaranteed everlasting life. The moment God makes this judicial calculation, you're justified, the entire benefit package of justification is given to that believer from that moment on. Now, there are some false ideas about justification that I want to talk about for a few moments, three of them. First of all, this is a big one right here. People get confused about justification, and they say that justification makes or causes a person to be righteous. That's what they say. Justification makes or causes a person to be righteous. That's false. Justification declares a person to be righteous. It's a declarative act of God. The truth is, even one who's been justified still sins, and if he says he doesn't, John says he's a liar. So there's the truth of the Word of God. The matter of becoming righteous is a matter of sanctification. It is not a matter of justification. And this, I think, ladies and gentlemen, is where a major misunderstanding of doctrine occurs. Justification does not make a person righteous. It declares a person righteous. John Calvin said, man is not made righteous in justification. He's accepted as righteous, not on account of his own righteousness, but on account of the righteousness of Christ located outside man. And I love something Dr. Chafer said. Justification causes no one to be righteous. It is not the bestowment of righteousness. It rather proclaims one to be justified, whom God sees as perfected in His Son. Now, I'd like to illustrate that by going back to our marriage analogy. The declaration that this couple is now husband and wife does not cause that couple to act like their husband and wife automatically. It simply declares it, legally. I mean, you simply declare that this is husband and wife, they're now married. Some couples, from that moment on, and they develop beautifully. And they develop for the glory of God. Some couples don't. But both are legally married. The judicial legal episode of that marriage declared them husband and wife, whether or not they behave right, whether or not they develop right. That's not the point. The point is they are declared to be married. There's justification. You are declared to be a child of God. You are declared to be righteous, regardless of whether or not you develop right, which you hopefully will, but if you don't, you're still declared to be righteous through Jesus Christ. And that's where people misunderstand the value of what He's done on that cross. They just don't get it. Something doesn't go off in their heads about this. You know, and just a week ago tomorrow, I had to go to the hospital from some of our people who were having surgery, and I walk in, and a man stops me, and his daughter was there. He recognized who I was. I didn't know who he was. But he recognized me, and he said that he had been there all night, and I was walking in the Bronx at about 5:45 in the morning, and he said that he'd been there all night, and his daughter had just had a heroin overdose, and she's going to die. And I looked at him, and I said, has your daughter ever had a point in time where she believed in Jesus Christ? And he said, you know, she did say once she did. I said, there's your hope. In fact, I looked at him and I said, that's your only hope. Your only hope at this point, if she's brain dead, and they're about to pull the plug and she's going to die, is that she has believed in Jesus Christ. Now, is it sad that she didn't develop for the glory of God and she did die? Is it sad that she didn't develop for the glory of God? Sure it is. Is it sad that she didn't come to terms with learning the scriptures and becoming what God would want her to be? It is sad. But I'm here to tell you, if she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that justification means she's with the Lord. She went to be with the Lord because of the judicial decree of God the moment that she believed in the Son. Now, the second false idea is that justification can be maintained by works that are holy. That's false. Nobody maintains justification by works. Works have nothing to do with justification. And right here is a point where Protestant theology radically opposes Roman Catholic theology. James Montgomery Boyce said, if we think works have a part to play in our justification, we're trusting in those works rather than the fully sufficient work of Christ. We're not justified. We're not saved. We cannot be saved by grace and grace plus works all at the same time. Now let's go back to our analogy. The fact that a couple has been declared legally married has nothing to do with whether or not they maintain a good marriage relationship. Those are two separate issues, aren't they? You've been declared married, and then you're living a good married life or you're not living a good married life. The fact is, you're declared married regardless of what the relationship is, because of the judicial declaration. And sometimes the marriage blossoms, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, for example, if a mate comes up missing, they look at the other mate first and foremost to see whether or not they think they killed them. I mean, that's the day and age in which we live. What does that tell you? Were they married? Yeah, they're legally married, but that relationship sure was whacked. Well, that can happen with God. Is a person justified? Yes. But a relationship may not blossom the way it should. That's another matter, but the person is justified. Now that brings us to the third idea that's false. A justified person is still a condemned sinner in God's sight. That's false. A person who's believed in Jesus Christ is justified, declared righteous, and is imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that guarantees them heaven. Justification does not leave the sinner in a condition of a discharged criminal. Justification renews and restores to a brand new relationship and status with God, which puts one in a condition of divine favor that guarantees them everlasting life. Now that brings us to the next question, and that is, what are the major objections to the doctrine? There are three of them. First of all, justification is a doctrine that opposes grace because it is a legal transaction. That's just absurd. I mean, what would be a better demonstration of grace than a holy God making a judicial decree that an unrighteous sinner is now righteous, fully acceptable in his sight? What is more gracious than that? I mean, the doctrine of justification is the ultimate doctrine of grace. Secondly, justification is impious and irreverent because it declares a sinner to be righteous contrary to actual facts. Some have argued that. Well, justification is an impious doctrine because it declares sinners to be righteous when they're not. Well, that's absurd. The declaration of righteousness is not based on the sinner. The declaration of righteousness is based on Jesus Christ. He's the one who's righteous. He's the one whose righteousness is imputed to us. It's not our righteousness at all. Finally, justification is a doctrine that leads to the promotion of licentiousness. There are others that say, if you teach this doctrine of justification, that a person is judicially declared righteous the moment they believe in the Lord, then people will just want to go out and just, they can go out and sin up a storm and live any way they want. First of all, the truth is, once you're justified by God, even if you did do that, I would still expect to see the person in heaven based on what the Word of God says, based on this doctrine of justification. Secondly, when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Spirit of God takes up residency in a person, and that Spirit of God is certainly prompting that person to develop for the glory of God. And thirdly, and this is so important, I have never seen a person who studied the doctrine of justification actually say, boy, that's what I want to do. I want to go out and pursue a licentious life. Now, I've seen plenty of believers who haven't been serious students of the Word go out and live licentious lives, but I have yet to see one who studied seriously the doctrines like doctrine of justification that said, I want to go out and pursue a licentious life. In fact, it's been my observation, I see just the opposite effect on people. When you teach them true doctrine, like a doctrine like justification, they want to learn more, love the Lord more, serve the Lord more. I've seen that multiple times. Now, the final question is, what is the evidence that justification is real and really takes place? Now, as we've established in the course of this study, justification rests solely on the redeeming shed blood of Jesus Christ. Shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures testify of that. You're justified by His blood. Well, God has given the greatest proof of this transaction of justification, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what proves it. Now, Christ was not raised to make justification possible. His blood did that. His shed blood made justification possible. He was raised for several reasons, one of which was to show that justification was accomplished. Now, I'd like you to go to Romans 4, if you would, please. Romans chapter 4. And I want to point out verse 25. We read in Romans 4:25, He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Now, the preposition for, dia, in Greek, means that Christ was raised on account of our justification. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that this judicial stuff takes place the moment you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your only Savior. The moment that you believe that, You are justified, and what proves that this actually takes place is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, what God asks us to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the only person who can take care of our sin problem in a court case against us. That's what he asks us to do. Believe in Christ. Place our faith in him to be our mediator in this court case before God. And if a person will place all of their faith in Jesus Christ to settle that sin case in the court of God, then ultimately that person is justified forever. Now the same righteousness that condemns sinners will justify condemned sinners if a sinner will believe in the Lord, and any who do that are justified and they have this wonderful relationship with God. That is the doctrine of justification. It is a great doctrine. Love this doctrine. Embrace this doctrine. Think about, meditate on this doctrine. This doctrine gives you a great status with God that can never be undone. It can't be. It's a legal transaction that took place. Well, our time is long gone tonight. We're going to pick up a new word next week, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. It'll be the word redemption, and we'll take a look at that, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Any questions or comments here? Thanks for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.